Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by the free Sports Action app. If you're going to bet on college hoops this month, you need to download the free Sports Action app right this second. It's the best app for sports bettors, and it's not even close. I use it 100 times a day to track my bets. I follow the in-game live lines. I can check all the line moves, and you can see where the public money is going before you bet. Be smarter with your bets by using it. Go to sportsaction.io/PMT right now to download it for free and wet the beak. That's sportsaction.io/PMT. I also can track all my bets, so they sit right at the top and they give you a little, are you covering or not? It's a green or a red. It's awesome to watch. It's super quick. They update everything. And like I said, the live lines are great. You can hop in the action and they'll do the math for you. So go download the free Sports Action app for iOS or Android right now at sportsaction.io/PMT. Today's episode is also brought to you by Hanes. Guys, we need to take a quick break to talk about something very important. Smelfies. You know, those quick self-sniffs of your pit when you think something smells bad. They have to stop, and we're all guilty of it. I've been doing it a lot, and guess what? I know you're going to do it this Thursday and Friday when you're at the bar watching all the games, but you can stop it right now with Hanes Fresh IQ Advanced Odor Protection Technology. Hanes with Fresh IQ Advanced Odor Protection Technology repels bacteria and keeps fabric from absorbing man funk and other unpleasant smells. That means your socks, tees, boxers will all smell fresher longer, giving you the confidence to quit the smelfy cold turkey. Right now, all Pardon My Take listeners can get 25% off Hanes Fresh IQ products at Hanes.com with the promo code FRESHTAKE. That's Hanes.com with the promo code FRESHTAKE. Some exclusions may apply. Let's go.
Presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Wednesday, March 15th. The calm before the storm.
That's right. Today's the last day for you to quit your job before the NCAA tournament starts. We said this last year. It's the best time of year to quit a job that you don't want to stay at.
I'm so excited. I am just bouncing around because the first 4 days of the tournament, best sports watching days of the year. Best gambling days of the year. I'm like giddy. I'm a little kid.
Is there a bigger letdown than the feeling you feel in this first weekend and then hitting next Monday morning?
Like, no.
This Sunday night, these are the worst Sunday scaries you'll ever get.
Correct.
Because you have to go 3 days without more basketball.
Right, and there's no sports on in the middle of the day. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, if lacrosse or rugby ever wants to become the true sport of the future, start capitalizing on it the Monday after the first round. Full day tournament.
Well, I think
that
we can
bet on.
We already know. I was at the rugby tournament. That is the sport of the future. It solidified it. Shout out another semifinals for the U.S. national team.
Oh yeah,
not to say we're on a hot streak.
Did they win?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Third place.
It's good to be back in our home studio.
Yes.
We were on the road for a long time. I was out in Vegas for what feels like a year. But it's good to be back. When you're on the road, your head starts spinning a little bit. I call it road head. Now we're back in the studio. We're just home base.
You're getting a lot of road head from Hank and I.
I was getting so much road head. Yeah. So it's good to be back and focused.
And March Madness leading up to it. I love these few days too because everyone overanalyzes all the numbers. There's the perfect way to make your bracket. That's what everyone has. They have the numbers. Or you can just do the Dan Dockich, recurring guest of this show. He just picked Michigan because his son plays for it. Kind of fucked up not having unbiased journalists out there. We're the last bastion of good integrity here.
Yeah, if anything, you should pick against your son to motivate him. Whatever happened to parenting in this country,
right,
where you motivate people by fear of disappointing your dad?
And I also want to mention...
That's why Jesus was so great.
I also want to mention that I have Wisconsin in the Final Four. Like I said, unbiased journalism. Here is where it is at.
Mm-hmm. Also, Northwestern there are going to be in a lot of journalist finals because you can't pick against your team if it's the first time that you're in, right?
No. All right, let's talk. We actually just came up with this idea. Everyone talks about the Final Four. Who's in your Final Four? That's the buzz. Who you got in your Final Four?
How's your bracket?
Yeah, well, guess what? We're first four guys. Mm-hmm. We really love these first four games, and two of them are tonight, so we're going to make a prediction that will air after it, so it'll be really funny to laugh at us. Two of them are on Wednesday night, and we have a bet. So we are going to do a little pick against the spread, thanks to our friends at William Hill. I got the lines from there, who we hung out all last Friday at their casinos. Awesome. What was the one that was the SLS? They have live in-game wagering, which if you're going to Vegas anytime soon, even if it's next fall, you got to get in the live in-game wagering. You can literally bet the game at any point. It's not even like a stoppage. It's just you can walk up and bet a game in the middle of the game, which is usually how I hedge against myself and lose all my bets, but it's the best.
And they brought out copious amounts of food for us. I think they had like seven different kinds of fries with different sauces on them. That's the quickest way to my heart.
They were man fries. They have, at SLS Casino, they have man fries.
Finally.
Finally fries for guys.
Yep.
all right, so first four, here's the deal. We're going to pick all four. Loser has to say sorry to Hank.
No, I don't agree to that. That was not the terms of the bet.
Okay.
The terms of the bet are the loser has to attend a SoulCycle class for three out of the first 4 days of the actual tournament.
Yes.
Meaning Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, you get to pick. Three of those days, the loser has to go to SoulCycle, take the class.
They're tough workouts.
I'm just realizing as I'm saying this, we're about to get all of us are going to get fired, but that's fine. We're going to SoulCycle. It's pure punishment because we're not workout guys. Even though I worked out on Monday, my body's still working out today.
I actually started a diet, so
yeah,
it's lasted for 4 hours.
All right, so let's do it with these fake teams. There's two of the four games are total fake teams, like Hank just said. Hank, you want to do your picks first?
No, I'll go first. All right. So I've got Wake Forest plus 1.5 against Kansas State.
Okay.
Stay Wake. I've got New Orleans minus 1 over Mount St. Mary's.
Mm-hmm.
Mount St. Mary's is kind of a sacrilegious name, like Mount St. What you're talking about, cucking or sleeping with the Virgin.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we've got North Carolina Central over UC Davis.
Yep.
Minus 3.5. And then I've got Providence over USC plus 2.5.
Oh, you're taking Providence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Always take Providence.
Hank? Wait, someone write this down for us, listening, and tweet it at us.
What'd you have, PFT?
We're too lazy to realize what we're doing, so someone just tweeted it. No, Hank, don't write it down. Award-winning listener, please, whoever listens to this first, when it drops, tweet us and say, hashtag SoulCycle Challenge.
Anything else you want to say, PFT?
No, that's it.
You're done?
Yep. No sorries?
Nope, your turn, Hank.
All right.
I got Mount St. Mary's, Kansas State. I also have Providence and UC Davis.
Okay. I'm going to take New Orleans. I'm going to take K-State. I'm going to take Providence and UC Davis.
Okay.
Is there any way it could be a tie?
I don't know.
Maybe.
We just said this 2 seconds ago and we've already forgotten. Larry 2's goldfish brain lives on in all of us.
I don't know how to do math, so I guess conceivably there could be a tie.
But yeah.
I'm not going to worry about that until it actually happens.
In addition to the calm before the storm, we also have, quickly before we get to Bachelor Talk and Hot Seat Cool Throne, we have the time when all of the NFL owners have to be worried about their players, notably Ezekiel Elliott pulling down breasts, looking at breasts in public.
Mm-hmm.
I love this time of year where all the agents are not getting their sleep this time of year because they're worried about their clients out there doing crazy things.
Mm-hmm. This is the worst week of the year, one of the worst weeks of the year to screw up as an NFL player because the news cycle is so slow that it's going to make its way out there if you even have a minor faux pas. Next week, next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is also a really bad time.
Yes.
So, you know, just try to stay on the straight. 6 days to just stay, lock yourself in your basement.
Right.
You can watch porn. You don't have to go out grabbing breasts.
Yeah.
Just look at your own porn at home.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's do Bachelor Talk. For guys who don't watch The Bachelor, it was a finale.
Yep, big finale.
Huge finale. What a season. Feels like it went by in a split second. Let's get the rundown. Hank, Barstool, Trent sent it to us. Listen to their podcast, Coming Up Roses. Give it to us.
Nick and Vanessa hung out with Santa Claus in Finland and learned about love.
Wait.
How, what? How does that work?
That's the finale?
They sent two people to Santa Claus.
There's 3 points.
Okay. One of them. Okay. Okay. All right.
This show's great.
They went to Finland for Santa Claus.
Got this your favorite season of The Bachelor? Because it's my favorite.
Sounds like it.
Nick then picked Vanessa over Raven. Nick proposes to Vanessa, and she says yes. Vanessa won The Bachelor.
Wow.
From what I've heard, it sounds like the girls that didn't win actually won this Bachelor, because Nick seems like a real jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, Vanessa and Nick appear on the ABC After Show and reveal that they have not set a date for the wedding.
Oh.
And Nick is going on Dancing with the Stars.
Wait, do you think that this was all one big publicity stuff for all the girls on the show?
No, I know what you're going to say. You're going to start hating on The Bachelor, say it's not about love, say this guy who went to the fantasy suite and fucked 25 girls over the last 3 months, he shouldn't marry one of them. But mm-hmm. I'm going to disagree, because this is 2016, and this is how the millennials find love. I think they're going to last.
I would like to see the Fantasy Suite get its own spin-off reality show.
Yeah.
Just a different week. The guy does his
it's
fantasy
called the casting
thing.
Couch. We watch it all the time.
Yeah, I would like to see that happen. That would be a ratings bonanza. Also, I think I want to know an update on Raven. Did she ever have an orgasm? Did that happen?
Or was that Corinne?
No, Corinne's had some orgasms.
She's got the Corinne, gold-plated vajige.
Yeah, Corinne lives her life in a state of heightened arousal.
Luckily, you can find out, because Raven is the new bachelorette.
Ooh, oh, okay. Oh,
see how that works.
She's going to get a couple then. All
right. Yeah.
I think.
Can she pick just like a rabbit vibrator as her bachelor?
It should just
be different sex toys.
She could just pick like a shower head with nice water flow.
Yeah,
that's a new bachelor.
Just a jet inside a whirlpool.
Do they always propose at the end? Is that how it works?
You're looking at me like I have answers.
Has
to these
anyone
questions.
Ever said no?
I think you have to say yes on the show.
Okay.
And then after you go the cameras are off,
you
like,
do
nah.
your Good Morning America and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
you write a book, like, or you have somebody else write a book for you.
I actually hate you, and that's what you say after.
Yeah.
The minute the cameras come off. I'd actually watch that show. Show us like the 20 seconds after every single Bachelor, Bachelorette finale when the cameras go off and they're like, wait, shit.
And then you send them to divorce court later. Mm.
I like this.
Just keep it moving.
Keep the spinoff
going. No one wants the season of The Bachelor to end.
Yeah, and then have like a reality show like John and Kate plus 8 when they break up and just like, you know, one of them raising kids and all that stuff. That'd be fun.
What happened to those guys, the John and Kate people?
I think John got really creepy.
John
started
had
wearing, he started wearing white sunglasses and cargo shorts, uh-huh. and I think that was like, okay.
John got
not
a little,
funny anymore.
Little taste of reality show money and forgot he had 8 kids.
You love it. It's great when that happens, when the reality show, they start out ugly and like regular Americans like all of us, and then they get a little bit of the taste, and next thing you know, they got a new haircut, mm-hmm. they got in shape. Oh, whoops. Well, you know, one of them's cheating on the other with their bodyguard because they need a bodyguard now. Mm-hmm. And then the other one's, oh wow, we looked through his Reddit history and he's been doing some really fucked up shit.
That's the key. If you're on a reality show and you all of a sudden get into shape, because Americans, we don't get into shape in our 40s.
No.
That doesn't happen. If you get into shape, then you know that there's trouble in paradise.
Yeah, you know they're fucking on the side. All right. Good luck to those kids. Nick and who? Raven? Corinne? Nick and who?
Nick and
Melinda?
Raven.
Vanessa.
Vanessa. Wow. I hope we get an invite.
Storybook romance.
All right, let's do Hot Seat Cool Throne. PFT, you want to go first?
Sure. Yeah.
I'll go first.
Yeah, there you go, Hank. There you go, Hank.
My hot seat is shirt collars and ties, because college coaches are going to make a mockery of them the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Yes.
Okay.
Just look like shit on the sideline, like tie pulled halfway down.
Sweaty
Yeah,
mess.
I like when the nipple makes its first appearance through the shirt. The sweatshirt gets so transparent. That's a good moment.
Mm-hmm. That's when Ezekiel Elliott gets hard.
Then my cool throne, Somali Pirates.
Oh.
They robbed a ship for the first time in 5 years.
Hell
so
yes.
So they are back.
Yes.
Okay, look, is it fair to say the Somali Pirates are a dynasty now?
Wow.
Yeah.
5 years apart.
Been a couple
that's still,
years.
That's still
yeah.
the same era.
Right. It's still the same faces on that team.
Yeah.
Same draft picks. All right. That's a good one, Hank.
I like it. My hot seat is...
Someone tweeted us earlier. So
that's kind of all right.
Plagiarism.
Shouldn't tell on yourself.
Vocal plagiarism. My hot seat is meteorologists.
Mm.
So they promised a big snowstorm. We didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone likes to complain about the weather people. They're not doing their jobs. And they promised 8 inches. And they got to deliver.
Mm.
When you promise 8 inches, People know when it's less than 8 inches.
Right.
That's like the cutoff.
You can't feel it.
You can say 6 inches and, you know, 1 or 2 inches either way.
Right.
Nobody really knows. If you say 8 inches, we're expecting to be just working through that thing.
Just, we're expecting to have a hard time walking to
yes.
work and everything.
Absolutely.
Did you see Jim Cantore did push-ups in the snow? The ultimate weatherman hardo?
Mm-hmm.
Love him.
I love Jim Cantore, too. Yeah, he's great. Also, I got confused because I saw a meteorologist. That would be a great name for a scientist whose job it is to actually find meteors.
Oh.
Why do we give that? They're weathermen. That's what they are. They're not meteorologists.
And that's our new segment, When You Get Too High.
Yes. my cool throne is math.
Okay.
Pie jokes.
Yeah.
Pie jokes are really in. It's pie day today.
It's nerd day.
314.
Pie day was yesterday.
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 Brent taught us that trick.
So you get to spend one day making jokes about circumferences and radiuses, and people think that you're the funniest person on the earth. Turns out you're just a nerd every other day of the year.
Yeah, though. You're telling on yourself that you read and know what pie actually means. What's the point of pie? Explain it to Big Cat.
When you want to find out how big a circle is.
Got it.
That's it.
That's not true.
That's it, yeah.
Okay.
Pie. You do pie.
All right. Hank?
It's when you want to see how many numbers you can remember and show that you're a nerd.
That's by saying
how many numbers of pie you know.
That's the greatest. I love it when there's like some kid, I think the world record holder is from India, and he just sat and memorized pie to like 5,000 places. Is there a more useless skill in your life than doing that?
No. It's up there with people who can do Rubik's Cubes.
That would be a great question at the NFL Combine for a player.
Yeah.
How far can you go with pie?
Yeah. And
if you can memorize pie, you can memorize playbook.
I'd love to hear Jameis Winston's answer to that. My hot seat, planes. We flew in a couple, and we had some bad experiences. I was in an all-time war with the person in front of me shoving their seat back on my knees. I actually got called an asshole by a woman that was like 5'3". She kept on smashing me in the knees, and I told her, please stop smashing me in the knees.
I woke up from a nap to Big Cat, literally like pushing the seat in front of him as hard as he could, being like, hey, I get it, you're going, I'm 6'3", like, come on.
It was a small plane,
yeah.
And I'm a big guy, and I'm a bigger guy because I was in Vegas for a week, so I was having a hard time. I was having those, like, sweats, you know, you've just eaten too much, you haven't slept very well. I fell asleep, and I woke up to her smashing me in the knees, and then for the rest of the 4 hours, I didn't sleep just so that I could stay in the seat fight with her. Because every 20 minutes she'd go back and I would just give a forearm shiver to the back of her chair to push her back forward.
Just out of spite.
I mean, you know, you got to do it.
We've had the lean back conversation before, but on a small plane, I understand.
Yes.
Keep yourself upright.
It was an old plane. Those old planes where you're just stuck in there. You had plane issues. You took a flight that was before us and ended up like 7 hours later.
Yeah, I almost ended up just staying in Vegas because they almost canceled my flight.
Yeah.
If that was the case and I was out there for another like 3 days, I just would have moved to Vegas.
Yeah.
I'm just a Vegas person now.
Yeah, we actually talked about who would take over for you as the co-host, and we came up with just a wheel.
A wheel that says either Hitler reference or Jesus reference.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And if I die on a plane someday, I'd want you guys to just eat a wheel of cheese and just roast me, and then you'll be constipated for a couple days. But you'll remember me because you're constipated.
I feel like Guy Fieri would be a pretty good replacement for you.
Mm, okay. Hank, who should replace you? Oh, Milmore, because he already does, and he does a better job than you sometimes. Cool throne. I have two cool thrones, actually. Awkward office talk is on a cool throne because the people that you talk to all the time and you hate talking to about the same things, now you can talk about the tournament. Who's in your final four?
How's your bracket?
Yeah, what's your picks looking like? So that's always nice. And then cool throne, Venmo and PayPal. Big month for them.
Yeah.
A lot of transactions going through with your college buddies. You might live in different cities. Got a Venmo and PayPal that hit them up.
Do the kids still use PayPal?
I don't think so. I have PayPal. I do not have Venmo, and I think that's one of the oldest things I do.
Hey, yeah. What's the call on this one?
Not me.
Okay.
No?
Say PayPal, yeah, do your eyes just glaze over?
It's kind of like when you say something like, look at a map.
Or VO. Oh, yeah. That's a tough
so
one.
Send a letter.
Okay, Kyrie Irving.
So I'm like, I have a Hotmail address when I say I have PayPal and not Venmo.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
You can just Venmo that to me at pftcommentary@aol.com. If you need another CD, I've got
inspectors. Oh, you looking to wet the beak there?
Yeah.
Okay, I like that. All right, let's get to our interview. We have Mark Titus, who is, I think, 4 or 5-time recurring guest, one of our favorite guests. He breaks down all of the college basketball bracket. He is a huge expert, watches it all year. So if you're the guy who watches like three games a year and you don't know what to put in your bracket, Mark will win your bracket for you. He actually guaranteed that on the show.
Yep.
He said, if you don't win this bracket,
come see
I
him.
Will Venmo you $25. So listen to this interview. All right, we welcome on, I would say, top five favorite recurring guests.
Mm-hmm.
I think we did this last time.
That.
Yeah, I think you were top 10. Now you're top five. It is Mark Titus. He is from The Ringer. We were just saying this before we started. He has a podcast called Teed Up. Everyone should go check it out. We're going to give it the Pardon My Take seal of approval. So there you go, Mark. You finally, you know what? You can maybe text your mom when we finish this podcast and tell her you finally made it.
My mom listened to me last time I was on here, and she was not happy.
How's she doing?
With it. Yeah.
Mark, I was looking through your Wikipedia page before we do this interview here, and at the end it says that you noted that your goal for 2017 was for your interview, your next interview on Pardon My Take, to make our best of 2017 list. So this is your opportunity. Don't blow it.
Yep.
Say something funny. Make us laugh.
It's funny you did say that. My college roommate actually did that very thing, which they would do exactly what you're doing to me right now. And I never learned my lesson. He would just be like, hey, Mark, you're funny. Say something funny. And I hated that guy. So.
Yep.
Thank you for taking me down that road.
You're still over.
I appreciate it.
Yep. Okay. Let's do what you have come on here to talk about. How much hoops related content have you done in the last like week? I feel like you have done a million podcasts and periscopes.
It's fucking ridiculous. I don't even know what the bracket looks like anymore because I'm so lost in the weeds at this point that I don't even remember what teams are seeded, what tournaments have. Like, I've been looking up all the tournaments past, all sorts of other shit, stats left and right, players, because the thing is, like, all season long I pay attention to college basketball, but what that really means is I watch like 20 teams. Maybe I watch like the best 20.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea how good Princeton is, for example. I don't know
a lot of white
care.
Guys backdoor. Yeah, a lot but of white then, guys backdoor if you need your little cheat sheet.
This is the time of year where people are like, hey, we need someone who knows what they're talking about. Let's get a hold of Tyler. Like, you guys are doing with me right now.
Yeah.
We can talk about Princeton. And, it's been fun, though.
Well,
it's fun. We're having fun.
We're having a great time. I hope you're doing the old-fashioned Stephen A. and just changing your picks for every different show you
yeah. do. Yeah. Doing the Seth Davis move is just pick, like, every double-digit seed to go to the Sweet 16, so when you get, like, two right, it looks like you're a genius.
Yeah, that screen grab lives on. Yes, that's smart. All right, well, we're going to make you do it again with us. Like we said, check out the Teed Up podcast, but check out this podcast because it's better. We're going to start with the East. First question for the East, has there ever been a greater miscarriage of justice than Wisconsin getting an 8 seed?
I'm not pandering to you, Big Cat. This is the worst seeding.
Thank you.
Of the tournament of my lifetime. This is the worst injustice in college basketball history. This is Wisconsin swept Minnesota. They finished second in the Big Ten in the regular season, and then they were the runner-ups in the Big Ten tournament. And then Minnesota gets a 5 seed, and Wisconsin got an 8 seed. I don't understand it.
But they have reciprocity, okay, so right, technically
triggered
Wisconsin is a 5 seed, and Minnesota is also an 8
here's
seed.
Here's the thing. Wisconsin sucked. They sucked for February.
They were very bad.
They were really, really bad. And they could just be that bad team. And I have no problem with them being like a 7 or 8. It's just when I look at Minnesota, I'm like, what the fuck? How is Minnesota a 5?
That's the thing. It was like, they unveiled Wisconsin kind of first because they did Villanova and then they did Wisconsin. Like, that was one of the first teams shown. I was like, oh, shit, the committee hates the Big Ten. And I thought that was what's was going to shake out, was like Purdue was going to get like a 6 seed and Minnesota would get like an 8-2 and all that was about to happen. And then didn't happen. It was just Wisconsin. Wisconsin was the only one.
Persecution of the white male.
Wisconsin, didn't they had the flu though in February, right? Isn't that
always
the excuse?
That's a great excuse. Yeah.
Mono,
so do I. I've
mono.
Got the flu too.
Kissing too many
kissing
girls.
Disease.
Yeah, exactly.
Virginia, is there a more boring good team to watch than Virginia?
No. No, Virginia is the standard. Virginia is the lightning rod of, no, college basketball is actually good. You guys just don't appreciate good art. And college basketball isn't art. And shut up, Meryl Streep. And you're, and all that stuff. That's Virginia. Is like, the college basketball people swear that it's great. And I'm one of them. I love watching Virginia play. But then big dumb idiots like you guys watch it and just see guys setting screens and shooting with 2 seconds on the shot clock and shit like that, and it's boring as hell.
I meant boring actually as a compliment. They're like the Steelers. Like in the postseason, you got to run. It's all about time of possession.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. It's just run the ball between the tackles type of basketball. The thing I'll say about Virginia, though, is so their coach, Tony Bennett, like the last few years, they've had great teams, and then they have not made the Final Four, and that's become kind of a bad thing for him. Usually most coaches want to make the Final Four, and he's not doing that. So this year they did kind of change it up.
Okay.
This year they changed it up. This year they are they kind of kept like some offensive weapons on the bench, and they're kind of like unveiling them now. Because he used to like he was the idiot that treated every game as though it mattered, and then he kind of blew his load in January and February every season. So this year he's kind of like
We call that the Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Okay. My team in the East, and you can tell me if I'm stupid or not. SMU, and I pick them for two reasons. One, I just like them. They have, like, you know, good guard play, and I bet on them a lot this year. And two, I think Baylor is the biggest fraud team in the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thoughts? Baylor is – I totally agree SMU should be Baylor. SMU could give Duke a good game. The thing about Duke is, like, SMU would play Duke in the Sweet 16 if they beat Baylor. So Duke is back. That's what everyone's saying. I'm leading the charge. Duke is back to being back. But we're conveniently ignoring that, like, Duke was down 15 in all these ACC tournament games, and it took, like, kind of miraculous runs for them to win these games. And Duke is not a good team. They have good players, but they're not actually a good team. And SMU is a good team, so it wouldn't surprise me to see SMU win. That's not a bad pick. They only have, like, six players on their team.
Right.
Which
is kind of very efficient.
It's not great if foul trouble happens and all that kind of shit, but yeah, that's not a terrible pick. They've won like 16 in a row or something.
But Duke to me is like they're the splashy team, but people are failing to realize that their defense still isn't that good. Their defense is not a Final Four team.
Give me the blueprint.
Their defense isn't good.
Give me the blueprint for beating Duke.
They don't play well together at all. The blueprint for beating Duke is realize that they don't play defense at all. Try to frustrate them and try to make like Jason Tatum passed the ball to Luke Kennard and vice versa because they don't really want to pass to each other. They just want to score. That's what they're out there to do. Piss off Grayson Allen. Like I would just go to Grayson Allen and be like, hey, man, you're like the fifth best player on this team. That's what I would do, start the game.
Yeah.
And then watch him just get like a pouty face and try to be like, no, I'm not, and start shooting 30 times and that kind of shit. So.
Okay, and then obviously in the East, SMU is going to be my upset pick, but I don't see anyone beating Villanova. I think Villanova, even though they still do live a little bit on the three, I just think that they're well coached and they're consistent and they're probably going to get back to the Final Four.
Isn't that crazy how a year changes everything?
Yes, they're well coached.
Can you imagine saying that last year that Villanova? Yeah. They got the pedigree. That's why they're good at it. Yeah.
I'm looking at my bracket here in the East, and what seed is Ohio State again?
Yeah, the committee forgot. That's what happened.
Which committee? The NIT committee too.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It was weird.
Yeah,
I get that. I don't know if you get this a lot. You guys get this a lot too, but people really like to be funny when March Madness rolls around, and I get what would happen if the committee just completely forgot a team question? And it's like if I did like a March Madness mailbag, I don't think I'm going to this year, but if I did, I guarantee I'd get like three people writing in like, hey man, imagine this. What if the committee just forgot Duke existed and they just like filled out the bracket and there was no Duke? And I'm like, I don't know, man, that'd be fucking crazy.
You're blowing my mind right now. Yeah, that's too much.
That's guy who smokes too much weed and sends Mark Titus an email.
Maybe that happened with Ohio State. Who knows?
Right.
That's
the NIT and the NCAA both forgot.
So who's your pick out of the East? Who do you got?
I probably would say Duke as much as I don't want to because it's not fun to say Duke. Villanova is probably the really boring answer, but Duke has. I think having three guys that you can just say like, hey, everything's going to hell. Please go save us. Just take this ball and put it in the basket with Allen and Kennard and Tatum. Like having three guys that can do that, some teams only have one, and good teams have one or two, and Duke has three, and that might matter a lot. So I do like Duke, but I don't know. I'm not really confident because they don't play defense, and they're not as good as what everyone's kind of acting like they are.
So you're saying that Duke's got three guys that can do it. Whose man's is Duke? Who's the man on that team? Who's taking the last shot?
Who's the alpha? Does anyone have the clutch gene on Duke, though?
That's what I'm wondering.
That's what we need to find out.
I'm a big Luke Kennard guy.
We're going to have to figure that out, yeah.
I hate how much I like Luke Kennard. He's
awesome.
He's betraying everything I've thought about Duke. He's a white guy on Duke, and I somehow don't hate him.
You got it. You have to like him though for that, because then he's always the guy you can call back when, like, so 6 years from now, there's going to be another white guy that we hate, and everyone's going to go, "You just hate him because he's a white guy at Duke." And you can go, "Nah, Luke Kennard, I love him."
That's a good
point.
That's
the one you can always call back. So he's doing an important thing right now. You just don't know it yet.
Well, some of my favorite basketball players are white Duke shooters.
Right. And, well, we figured out also that my brain is just really small and stupid, and that it's simply because he dribbles behind his back a lot. That always gets me going. It's a little flashy move.
Yeah. What are you, John Wooden?
Yeah, dude. I'm just telling you, little flash, little behind-the-back dribble. I'm a fan. I am. I think it's a cool move.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
All right, let's go to the West, because we're not making any geographical sense. All right, this is Gonzaga. First question is when can Mark Few officially be on the hot seat? Because I'm sick of everyone sucking his dick and him never getting to the Final Four.
But Mark Few has, like, they never get upset though. That's the thing. They got upset they've been upset one time in the last 8 years. Wichita State.
Okay.
This is the best team they've ever had. This is the best draw he's ever had. Like 2 years ago when they actually had a really good team, they lost in the Elite Eight to Duke, who won the national title. That Duke team, people forget, went on to beat Wisconsin in the national championship.
Right, yeah, we did.
A lot of people forgot about that. Yeah,
so that was the same team. They lost to the same team Wisconsin did.
Okay,
so we can't really
did
get
the
on about
did
that.
The refs did the refs rig the second half for Duke in that one too?
Yeah, Coach K just pulled him to the side. That's why Coach K doesn't do those halftime interviews. Everybody knows that. He's in there talking to the refs.
Yeah. Okay, so is Gonzaga your team?
I actually like Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga is the best team in the country, and I know that's, like, absolutely insane to say. I don't expect them to win at all, but I do think they're the best team and the most complete team. And the other thing I would say is, like, Gonzaga has a ton of transfers who actually did play at big schools. Like, their point guard was a McDonald's All-American who played at Washington, and then he decided he actually wanted to play for a real coach, so he transferred to Gonzaga, which I know I'm opening myself up for jokes. Like, I thought he wanted to play for a real coach, but... So, like, they have talent. They have guys that have, like, played a lot of high-major basketball against really talented guys. It's not like they're, you know, just recruiting, like, two stars from Idaho and throwing them together and, you know, doing that sort of thing. Like, they actually have – they bring a 7-foot McDonald's All-American off the bench.
Right. Strategy in March Madness is just to take the team that has the best big man. Is Karnofsky the best big man?
He's one of them. The Purdue big, Caleb Swanigan, is probably the best. But, yeah, Karnowski is one of them for sure. He's the best-looking big man. He's got the big beard. He's, like, going a little bald. He's – I don't know.
He looks like he's 40, and I always
like
those guys.
He does look like 40.
There's some visual intimidation going on there.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you think I'm crazy to have the winner of the Notre Dame-West Virginia game in my Final Four? Because that's what I'm picking.
No. Both those teams are high-variance teams, so, like – they could lose by 400, and they can win by 400, and that's kind of like I wouldn't bet on either one of them. But yeah, I mean, like it's not that crazy to think that they could. I mean, West Virginia beat the hell out of Kansas, and they beat the hell out of Baylor, and you know they can look really good, and then suddenly they forget how to score, and their press isn't working because like coaches realize or the kids on the other team are like, oh, they're throwing three guys at us. What if we just passed a couple times and didn't like shit our pants? Maybe we could get a layup and then West Virginia loses. So I don't know. I don't think it's that crazy. Notre Dame's kind of the same way, just on the offensive end. Like they bomb threes and they start like a 6'4" guy at center and that's not good. But when he's hitting threes, they look really good. So
I feel like Xavier always wins their first round game. It doesn't matter what they're seeded. They always win. Are they going to be able to beat Maryland?
Yeah, I think they'll beat Maryland. I think, which, by the way, our mutual friend, Scott Van Pelt, loves, if you end up talking to him about that, mention that Maryland is just really lucky. He loves that. All Maryland fans love to be reminded that they're just lucky because KenPom hates Maryland. All the advanced metrics say that Maryland's not good.
Yep.
And that their record is better than it should be. And then they get it pissed off and they hate numbers and there's like, I don't know. They just get frustrated.
Well,
they've
got the best splashy name, which is Melo Trimble. That's a hell of a name.
True.
So, like, that stands out a little bit. That's why they're seated so high.
We watched a game. When we went up and did SportsCenter, we were watching the game with Scotty. I think it was Maryland versus Penn State, and they were losing in Penn State. It's not fun watching Maryland game with Scott when they're losing.
It's not fun. No, it's
He loves his Terps. He is a ride or die guy. He is a passionate, true fan. And I,
we should give a shout out to him for that because you see all these Northwestern people that are jumping on the Northwestern bandwagon and can't name the coaches. They don't even know who the hell the coach is. All these famous people. But Van Pelt, man, he rides and dies in Maryland. If Maryland was playing in the CIT tournament, you would be watching every game, every second, and treating it like the national title.
It's absolutely true. It's a lot of like journalists and all these guys who are on TV. They their allegiances to their teams kind of fade over the years. Maryland basketball and Scott Van Pelt, he does not fuck around when it comes to that.
Not at all.
All right. So who do you have? Gonzaga coming out of the West?
Probably Gonzaga, Arizona. Love them both. Like I think to me it feels kind of straightforward that it's going to be one of those two. But especially just because of the geography, like they're going to be playing in California, which helps both those guys. I mean, I know that's a boring thing to say that the one and the two seed, the winner of that game will move on. But they seem like pretty obviously the two best teams in that region to me. But I would say Gonzaga. I actually haven't filled out my bracket yet. I'm doing the Rovell thing. I heard you don't fill out a bracket. It's less stress.
Mm.
So I haven't filled out my bracket yet, and
cool.
I haven't really thought about it. But I'd say
cool, man.
Hey, man. Yeah.
It's less stress, and you're also now a member of ISIS.
Yeah, and you can't be wrong about anything.
Yeah, so way to go.
Way to put your neck out there.
I'm going to fill one out soon. I just haven't yet, but I'm probably going to pick Gonzaga, I think.
Florida Gulf Coast. People forget they had a lot of dunks a couple years ago in the tournament. Do they have any chance of winning?
They had. I love that they had guys who could dunk one time.
Yes.
4 years ago they had dunkers, and then all those guys graduated and their coach left.
Why don't more teams recruit guys that can dunk?
It's a great question.
Wait,
it's a great question.
Please don't make fun of people who judge old teams on their current teams because as a really dumb gambler, that's like basically. I also do the football basketball thing. Where I'm like, oh, Florida State. Well, they're always good at football. So
they
must get to the Sweet 16.
Ohio State.
Yeah.
Maybe some of those same guys play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ohio State football is playing. Let's take the under because Jim Tressel is going to run the ball and punt.
Wait, no, I take Baylor overs all the time in basketball, and they don't. They never hit the over. They're like slow and play good defense. And I'm like, but Baylor football scores 70.
Well, I guess that's my point with like all the Gonzaga shit. They're like, you guys got pressure because. Back in 06,
Adam Morrison cried. Yeah,
so you guys have to win now. And they're like, "What? What the fuck are you talking about?"
I'm just a big fan of a public mob going after a coach, and I feel like Mark Few is right there.
No,
like
if they I'm
lose
right
in the second
you,
round or the second, yeah, the second round, I feel like we're ready to go for Mark Few. Pitchforks.
In all seriousness, that's that way with like all the coaches in the West because Sean Miller is the same way. He's been to four of the last like seven or eight. I want to say Elite Eight, and he loses every time he gets there
to Wisconsin.
Arizona. Yeah, to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Leonard Hamilton is coaching at Florida State. He's almost 70 years old, and he's never been to Final Four. Mike Bray has been to the last two Elite Eights. He didn't go to the Final Four. Like Bob Huggins is the only coach in that region that's been to the Final Four. So that's definitely the outrage region.
Like
that's
I like
the region
that.
To keep an eye on. And like
the
whichever coach
guy.
Doesn't make it is going to be the you know everyone's going to shit on him for choking yet again.
I love that. The hot seat region. All right. Well, with a nice segue about coaches failing in March. Let's go to the Midwest, because I am very excited. This is a classic year of seeing Bill Self with his little, like, nice round belly just pissed off on the sideline as Kansas loses, like, a Sunday night game.
Yep, and round face, too. He looks like Jim Webb.
Yeah, it's coming.
I love the round belly thing.
He does.
I just now noticed that, like, a couple years ago for the first time, and I was shocked. Because he's, like, fat from his – it's like his tits down. Like, his face isn't really that fat.
Yeah, he's just eating it's just gone to his little, he's got a little, just a little nice little pouch there that he holds all his failures in March. That's what's
up. Oh my God.
Okay, let's talk about that because I actually do think Kansas is not going to go to the Final Four. Why aren't people talking more about Louisville?
I love Louisville. So here's my stat on Louisville that you guys are going to love. Louisville has scored 69 points in the NCAA tournament more than any other program in the country.
Not surprised.
I swear to God, that's a fact.
Who did that research? Did you have an intern like looking that up?
That's independent research that I've done. Has scored 69 points more than any other. And then it gets even better. So the program that has won the most games in college basketball history that has never scored 69 in the tournament is BYU.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God.
Nerds.
I feel like people aren't talking about Louisville, and they are a very good team that played in a very good conference and beat some really good teams. And the bonus, the farther they go, the more times we have Charles Barkley saying Louisville.
Yeah, I love Louisville. They're like the same team every year where they play like – they have a bunch of dudes who like probably aren't going to be great NBA players.
Be careful.
They're all like – they're all like 6'8" and really long and athletic, but they're not probably going to play in the NBA.
Okay. Yep. What? Yeah. What? What color?
What? Be careful. No, they got the Egyptian guy. Remember the?
Yes.
You remember that when Patino said he's got four white guys and an Egyptian out there playing?
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, so they always play great defense, and then now they have like Donovan Mitchell, this dude who actually is kind of an NBA player and can actually score. So, and that's kind of what takes them to the makes them actually a good team. So. Yeah, I like Louisville a lot. I think Louisville, I would actually pick Louisville. I'm picking Louisville to come out of the Midwest.
Right, but you forget they have to play Michigan in the second round. And so they had that plane crash. You think John Beilein's going to like hire Sully Sullenberger to fly him out to the tournament?
Good point.
Just motivate the guys. Do you see being in a plane crash as something that motivates you? Because for me, it would just make me want to stay at home on my couch.
Yes.
It would make me want to shit my pants, yeah.
Yeah.
I like how the plane crash, like, I don't mean to take anything away from it because that would be absolutely terrifying and all that kind of stuff. But I like how the plane crash negates, like, everything else we know about Michigan.
Right. Yeah,
how
they're just the plane crash team.
This has become the story. I heard it, like, said, I think it was Jim Nance said during the Big Ten Tournament Championship, he said this is the story of March right now. Is
oh,
that
my
Michigan,
God.
Like, Michigan beat some shitty Big Ten teams to win the tournament. It's like, this is the story. And now we're going to pretend like they're actually a good team. Like, I mean, Michigan can be a good team because when they're hitting threes, they're just like every other offensive-minded team. Like, when you're hitting threes and scoring, you look really good. When you're not, you look like shit. So who the hell knows? But it is hysterical. Yeah, like, this is the story of March. It's Michigan and Northwestern. Those are the two stories everyone loves.
Well, and the funny thing is, I actually you're exactly right that everyone's talking about Michigan in this plane crash. I think Oklahoma State's going to win that game. Oklahoma State's they have the number one adjusted offense in the country.
Like, yeah, by a lot.
They're
actually,
not a bad team. I don't know why everyone's really good. Michigan's the team of destiny now.
Can you explain to me what adjusted offense means?
It basically means that it changes it so that it doesn't, like, when you play a fast team versus a slow team,
all the nerd Virginia fans were like trying to convince everyone that they're actually good, so they had to come up with stats to prove it.
It's basically Wisconsin. Wisconsin scores 50 points, and they can be like, no, our offense is just as good as North Carolina.
One of my other favorite cliches in March is that a fast break team can't win or can't do well. Why do they say that? Why is it like, do they tire each other? Do they tire themselves out?
I have no idea. I mean, UNLV won and 90 and Arkansas won in 94. They're fast break. I don't know.
40 minutes from
hell.
I think
it's just like I don't know. I think it's mostly, here's what it is. College basketball media people love being, and this is probably true of football too, but they love just being like smart and they love being fundamental and they love it when white guys, let's just call it what it is. They love it when white guys beat black guys. And like, that's what they live for. And so when they see these guys just like throwing oops to each other and showing some sort of athleticism, they're like, no, this can't work. This can't possibly work. My son.
Their brains just scramble. No, football guys definitely don't like being smart, so that's not the case.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. I have a toss-up for you in the Midwest. You can decide. It's two toss-ups. I want you to make a pick. Nevada or Rhode Island for a team that can make some noise?
Make some noise, okay.
And then, go that one first. I'll give you my second one.
I would say Rhode Island.
Okay.
I would say Rhode Island there, yeah.
Okay, and then my second one is player you like to watch more, Dylan Brooks, Frank Mason.
I would say Frank Mason. Dylan Brooks is kind of the Grayson Allen of the West Coast. And he's on the West Coast, so people don't know this. But he's a flopper, and he has some tripping incidents in his past.
Ooh.
That's kind of I do like watching him play though. He's a really good player.
The refs ruined the Pac-12. He was on fire. We were at the game in Vegas. He was on fire. And then there's another thing that you love, I'm sure, as a college basketball fanatic. Everyone coming out of the woodworks in March, which I do as well, and complain about the refs and how they ruin it because there's only five fouls in the college game.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Vital, that's been Dick Vital's new thing. Is he's on that all year. He hates it. Someone like pointed out the math to him that the NBA has six fouls, and because they have, you know, like proportionally you get one foul for every 8 minutes or something like that, and they play more minutes, and so it's actually not that big of a deal. And his brain just like melted. And
but no, now you, as someone who is, you saw the most famous game for this. I do think there is something to be said. Coaches panic in March, and as soon as a guy gets the second foul, they sit him for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
The famous Joakim Noah Greg Oden final.
Right, but that's a coach thing. That's right. Just like coaches got to get over it. That's
right.
Just tell the guy, hey, don't foul. That's the problem with college basketball in general. Is coaches just think they treat their players like idiots, and I know a lot of them are, but that becomes guys overcoach, and that's why, I don't know, that causes a lot of problems. That's what makes the game unwatchable. I'm going off on a tangent that doesn't belong on this show.
No, I like it. I like it. I like it.
Anyway.
All right, let's complete it with the South. UNC, it feels like they're the most complete team in this region. I know that's crazy to say, a one seed, but UCLA, there's no chance UCLA is going to the Final Four. And
no.
Kentucky, I feel like Kentucky has also has a ton of flaws as well.
Yeah, I would agree. The South is definitely, to me, the hardest region. But for North Carolina, what makes it so hard, like all the stuff, all the good teams seem to be at the bottom. So, like, North Carolina will only have to play, like, one of those teams, you know, whoever survives the bottom half. But, yeah, Kentucky's got the hardest draw in the tournament, to me, of all the really good teams. Like, Wichita State and Dayton in the second round is going to be absolutely nuts. They're going to be, whoever wins that game is going to be not fun in the second round. They have to play Northern Kentucky in the first round, which always sucks, playing an in-state school like that. Not that they're going to lose, but just like, I don't know. That's never a fun thing to be in that situation. And then UCLA, they'll have to play. Kentucky would probably have to play UCLA and then play North Carolina. So Kentucky and Kentucky and Wisconsin were the two teams that kind of got shafted, in my opinion, and how the bracket was all laid out.
With Wichita State, I've heard a lot of people saying that they're really good, so I've been going around telling people that Wichita State's really good and watch out for that upset. Can you tell me why they're such a good team?
Because they went to the Final Four that one time. You don't remember that?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
The Shockers.
They went to the Final Four. Their coach is like Bizarro Tom Crean, looks like him, and is really weird, but he's like not quite as bad, so no one really gets on him about it. I don't know. That's pretty much it. They won 30 games playing a bunch of high school teams. That was like, they lost. They did play some good teams to like boost their strength of schedule, but they lost to all of them, all the good teams. Like they lost to Louisville, I think, and Michigan State and Baylor. I don't remember if they lost all those. But yeah, they lost the good teams they did play, they lost, but it boosted their strength of schedule to make them look like they're actually kind of good. So yeah.
How much blame can we put on Lonzo Ball's dad when UCLA loses?
God. All of it. Put all of it out there. Put it. I mean, like, I want there to still be some blame to go towards Steve Alford.
Yes.
We need to hate him as well. For his. I love that Steve Alford is like, people outside of Indiana keep like throwing his name around. Like he should become the next Indiana coach, and Indiana people are like losing their minds about it. Like, please shut the fuck up with that. We don't want Steve Alford.
Yeah. Who is going to be the new next Indiana coach? Or can we just bring back Tom Crean one more time?
Crean ruined the program.
God, I wish the tournament committee was just like, listen, we know Indiana shouldn't be in, but we really need to keep Tom Crean around for comedy's sake.
Yes.
Right.
Puts asses in seats.
Right. So let's just throw him in there as like the 11, you know, the 11-11 game in Dayton.
That would be awesome. That would be absolutely awesome. Yeah, I'm totally with that. Yeah, Crean's coming back. It sucks.
Yes.
I hate to say it, but yeah, he's gonna come back. They like IU's not playing. The rumor is IU's not playing in the NIT at home because they don't want people to know that they don't want to show people booing Crean, and they don't want to see the empty seats in Assembly Hall and stuff. IU is like the higher seed in the NIT, and they're playing on the road. That's the rumor.
Love that rumor. Let's get that cooking.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
I was in a bar like 2 weeks ago, and they had a beer called Tom Crean Lager. No joke, but it was from Ireland.
Yeah.
It was a different Tom Crean.
The Ireland guy, yeah.
But when you drink it, you make that same face and you start to sweat.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
Start kissing your son. What did you think about that video?
It gives you beer goggles for your son.
The you ruin the program video. What did you think about that?
Oh, that was amazing, wasn't it? Oh, my God.
It's tough to say that he ruined the program. Wouldn't you say, like, Kelvin Sampson and like all the bad
news. You know the backstory on that, right?
What?
You know? Oh, okay. Yeah, this is what made it so funny was that. So when Crean won the Big Ten, when he won his first Big Ten title in 2013, they were playing at Michigan, and yep. I don't know if you remember, like 2013 was a really good year in the Big Ten, and Michigan misses a buzzer beater, and if they would have made it. IU, Michigan, Ohio State, and I think Michigan State. It would have been like a four-way tie in first place for Big Ten. Anyway, Michigan misses the shot, and IU wins the Big Ten outright. So Tom Crean goes to the Michigan assistant coach and puts his finger in his face and says, "You ruined the program." And the coach that was an assistant at Michigan was on Kelvin Sampson's staff. So he was basically saying, like, "Hey, motherfucker, look at me. I just won the Big Ten. I inherited your mess, and I won the Big Ten. You ruined my program, and I fixed it. I am God. Suck my nuts," is what he did. So that's what that was. That was a callback to that.
Yes.
So the Maryland fan was like, "Hey, Tom, you ruined the program." That's what made it so funny to me.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. Yeah. That makes it so much better. And, I mean, Tom Crean, the best part about that story is Tom Crean, like, thinking that he's reached a level where he can be cocky and nothing will bite him in the ass ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's above the law.
He couldn't envision that maybe in 3 years he'll be bounced from the Big Ten tournament and not be in the NCAA tournament.
He's one bat away from turning his team around. That's all I need. Just got to find that bat.
I have one last question. The LeVar Ball thing.
How do you honestly feel about that guy? Because, like, he's obviously annoying as hell, but it's starting to venture into the territory of, like, I almost respect him just because he's, like, consistent with – how absurd he is. It's almost like he's got a, like, writing team for him. He's like got a team of writers. It's like, I need some new material. Give me some bullshit I can say in front of a microphone and get that passed around. I don't know.
I don't know where else he can go with it. Like, besides saying I would beat Michael Jordan, how much high can you say, like, I would have beaten Trump if the DNC hadn't rigged it against me?
Yeah.
Right. I don't know.
I love it.
Two more kids coming, so this is going to be... He's not going away anytime soon.
We said the world needs, like, a good helicopter parent. We you know, obviously Tiger Woods' father passed. Like, the Marinovich, like, the Williams sisters are starting to, you know, they're still winning tournaments, but they're at the tail end of their career. The world needs a helicopter dad to just, like, get into life. It's only going to end in one way. He's going to end up, like, either screwing up one of his kids' eligibility, which is going to be awesome. Like, that that will very much be in play here. Or he's going to, like, just end up with, like, some weird fraud case where it turns out he was stealing millions and millions of dollars from his sons all these years.
Right.
It's fantastic.
But I kind of feel bad for Lonzo because I honestly don't even know what his voice sounds like. I never hear from him. You know what I mean? Like, how does he feel about all this? Does he hate his dad? Is he going along with it? I don't really know. But he seems to be catching the brunt of everything. Because, like, when you mention Lonzo Ball, you're like, oh, yeah, his dad's an asshole.
Right. It's the first thing that you think about. But on the other hand, isn't he doing kind of like the distraction move and being the Phil Jackson and making the story about himself?
Yeah.
That way his son is free to fail on his own.
That's a good point. That's next level thinking.
He also can do it. He can deal with it now because Bryce Alford's around and the, you know, son's coach. So he's still not the worst guy, you know, on the team with a crazy dad.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Very true.
All right, Mark, thank you so much as always.
All right, guys.
We love having you on. Everyone check out Teed Up. We're going to just bleep. I think I've plugged it like four times. We're just going to bleep every time just so you know.
That's fine. That's all right.
And hopefully we'll talk to you maybe before Sweet 16, maybe before Final Four.
Sure.
I don't know.
There's a lot of change and uncertainty in the country right now. When it comes to your retirement portfolio and life savings, you don't want it all sitting in the stock market. You want to diversify it. Do what I did and look into richuncles.com. Rich Uncles is a REIT, or real estate investment trust. They own commercial property. They collect rent from the best creditworthy tenants and then pay you a monthly cash dividend, currently a 7% annualized dividend. Rich Uncles is ideal for IRAs and a great way to diversify your investment portfolio to add some steady income. RichUncles.com was recently featured in the Wall Street Journal. You can see that article and all the information you need to make an informed decision at RichUncles.com. Like any investment, it has risks and it's not guaranteed. Rich Uncles REIT, a Reg A Tier 2 offering. Go to RichUncles.com. That's RichUncles.com or call 855-RICH-UNCLES. Let them know that you heard about them on Pardon My Take.
Rich Uncle's REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent, response will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $15,000 by Rich Uncle's for this single message.
All right, let's do some segments. First up, we have a PR 101 for Baylor football. They just fired the new associate director of football operations, DeMarco Butler, who was hired to help kind of clean up Baylor football and the message out there. He was fired because he sent inappropriate text messages to a teenager.
Is that bad?
I think that's bad.
So what's this guy's name?
DeMarco Butler.
Okay, I'm a DeMarco Butler truther because I think this guy doesn't exist. I think he was just hired to be fired because it's like Baylor's on top of it now. They're cleaning everything up. But if I'm going to give them more PR advice, I would just say move out of Waco.
Yeah.
Just move the school.
Bad juju.
Move the school and make it a public school.
I like that.
People hate private schools.
I actually think he did his job. His job was to get people to forget about all the awful things that happened at Baylor. Well, he just got fired for texting a teenager. Now that's all I think about with Baylor. It's kind of like they had a strength coach who also got fired for a prostitution ring last month. So basically Baylor's PR 101 is just keep getting arrested for random things.
Yeah, just fire,
cover it up.
Fire somebody new for a sex crime every week.
Yeah.
And then we forget what the original problem
was.
Right,
it's like when you send a bad tweet and then you just
tweet through it.
Tweet right through it. Just keep going.
Also, they should tear down the RG3 statue. That's just a little bit of free advice.
Yeah.
That doesn't really have anything to do with anything else. Just
or
do it.
Tear down the RG3 statue, rebuild it with the Subway subs like they did back in the day. Remember, there was a statue of him in Subway?
Jared. Yeah, build a Jared statue out there.
That's thinking now. King State Kings, this one goes out to our boy Mike Wilbon. I have to say this. For our King State Kings, usually it's like, I can't believe this guy's doing this. He is the king of kings at this point. He wrote, huge dap to the Bristol producer who came up with the idea to put notable alums on the tournament challenge marathon bottom line. Big fun. That was tweet one.
Love it.
Tweet two. How misguided for the producer in Bristol to have me as a notable Northwestern alum ahead of Brent, Cindy Crawford, Warren Beatty.
Wow. Okay, great job, Mike. Totally deflected. I didn't see that. That was all class by Mike Wilbon right there.
I want everyone to know that I don't accept this prestigious award of being named the notable Northwestern alum, and I so much don't want this that I'm going to tweet that I was made the notable alum at Northwestern.
I'm extremely humbled at being declared more notable than Warren Beatty and Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, this isn't about me, guys. And let me tell all 3.6 million Twitter followers that I have that it's not about me by telling you how they made it about me. Mm. Capitalized me.
You know what? ESPN's smart because if they had put Cindy Crawford, the second us guys, we see Cindy Crawford's name, we immediately go look at that scene from Fair Game.
Yeah.
The train scene. You guys know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, just guy stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, it's crazy that Mike Wilbon has 3 points. He actually has 3.69 million followers. That's insane.
That is nuts.
That's insane.
Is there a more skewed, like, is there a more getting less for your buck than following Mike Wilbon on Twitter?
Well, for guys like us, we love it because he's a king and he stays a king. But yes, for actual analysis and what Mike Wilbon brings to the table, if you follow Mike Wilbon on Twitter, you realize that all he does is like he'll just hop in and bash the Bears like 3 years after everyone realized the Bears sucked. Mm-hmm. Like, man, the Bears have no idea what they're doing. Oh, what tipped you off, Mike? The like 4 consecutive 5-11 seasons?
Also, shots fired at Dan Revell for not even being mentioned in Wilbon's tweet.
That's got to really hurt him because he's trying to be the head honcho of Northwestern fans right now.
Yeah, I think Revell threw that one like a pity fave.
We have a spin zone. Eddie Lacy signed with the Seahawks. What do you weigh in at?
267.
Big boy.
Big
China
guy.
Food.
But the spin zone, Pete Carroll issued the ultimate spin zone, said he likes him because he wants him big. Wants a big running back.
Love it.
So I like it too. Classic Tom Cable hire. Bring in a guy and then think that you can just put him in any offensive line position. I think this is a good decision by the Seahawks. Lacy might just be angling for a Skittles sponsorship.
Yeah.
So we saw Marshawn's locker. Maybe Marshawn's locker is still filled with Skittles. And Lacy was like, you guys don't even have to pay me. I'll just, as long as I can live in this locker.
I bet also it's a little dangerous because Green Bay to Seattle, there's got to be better China food in Seattle. It's got to be pretty good.
100%. You're closer to China.
Closer to China. That's how it works. Yeah. The Taco Bells are better when you're closer to Mexico.
But I feel like Eddie Lacy's one of those guys that doesn't like real China food. He likes China food that's half MSG.
He's a big Panda Express guy.
Exactly. Yeah. General Tso's chicken, egg roll.
Either way, Pete Carroll saying that he likes him big, I don't know why my mind just immediately went to it, but I could totally see Pete Carroll on Craigslist boards looking for BBWs. Can you imagine that? Pete Carroll, like 9/11 truther, Super Bowl winning coach, also likes himself a big, beautiful woman, conveniently on like weird message boards.
Strutting out of that hotel room like he's got the cane and the monocle.
5'9 ripped guy looking for
well hung.
Yeah. He's a 5'9 well hung ripped guy looking for a woman over 300 pounds to dominate me.
To chew gum with. we're going to chew each other's gum.
Pete Carroll the BBW. Oh man. All right. Next up, we have a bad visual. Jay Williams drawing on the whiteboard in the ESPN studios. I don't know what kind of analysis he was doing, but it was something else. He walked up to the whiteboard and he just started drawing accidentally. I think he was drawing like man to man or something, and it was just a dude fucking a chick doggy style.
Well, I mean, let's not assume they're genders here. They're just stick people.
True.
So it could be any position, but yeah, one is definitely bending another one over there, and it looks like the hand is in the butt.
The best part is
hand down, man down. That's what he's doing.
He knew immediately what he had done, and he starts to erase it, but guess what? We captured it. Jay Williams analyzing people having sex on the whiteboard for college basketball.
I like it. I have no problem with it. The only thing is I'm kind of woke on this. I connect the dots in football season, and it's even more apparent here. This is done to get views. The fastest way to go viral is to draw a dick or draw sex using the Telestrator.
It's so true.
And then everybody starts talking about you.
John Madden he invented that trick, actually.
Yeah, Chris Collinsworth took it over.
Yeah.
It's like he always circles two players, and they're all running straight, and then there's another circle at the end with a dot inside of it.
It's genius. It's genius. America likes its, you know, sex humor.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we like. We like farts and we like sex. That's America, baby.
If you could fart while doing a Telestrator dick, then I think that would make the internet explode.
Love it or leave it.
Yeah.
Let's do a not to brag, but we called it. This is maybe our greatest call ever, and we're probably not going to get a lot of credit for it because it's kind of like a under the radar call. But we said Sean Spicer, White House press secretary, was under a lot of heat, and we said that he should start walking out with a walking boot, old Big Ben trick, when you're not injured, but just say you're injured. So everyone's like, wow, what's going on? Control the message. And turns out he did.
Yeah, he was pictured earlier today just strutting around with his foot in a cast, which is it's the perfect deflection technique. It's like, wow, that guy's, he's really hurt out there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should take it easy on him.
I have a stay woke for this one. I follow politics kind of like a peripheral sense, but I know that healthcare is kind of buzzing right now, a new healthcare plan. Mm. You think Sean Spicer just put himself in a cast so that when he gets up and he's like, hey, all like millions of people are losing their healthcare, look at me, I'm affected too, you know?
Sorry I'm late, guys. I just got back from my death panel meeting. They want to put me down.
Because I have a bum ankle.
They want to put me down, but we've got this new law coming through, so I think I'm going to survive.
Yeah.
That's what he should do.
It's a nice spin zone.
It is a great spin zone. It's like a Kevin Durant hurt his foot a couple years ago, mm-hmm. too. So Sean Spicer, he doesn't like his job. Trouble in Paradise might be going out to Golden State,
mm-hmm.
or like a better country that's winning more. What country's winning more than America now?
North Korea.
Syria?
North Korea is winning.
North Korea.
If you read the news, if you read the daily newspaper in North Korea, they are winning.
Spicer would be a great press secretary for North Korea.
How quickly do you think Kim Jong-un would kill him?
Hang on. Gotta sound the alarm on us.
Stick to sports. Got March Madness coming up. And you like Duke?
I like Kentucky basketball program. They have a lot of talent.
Yeah. UCLA's back, kind of.
Kansas has good players. They're flawed. This year, not as many great teams.
Can't wait for the NFL draft.
In Philadelphia.
All right. That was our new segment, Stick to Sports, whenever we get a little off on the politics train.
Refresh our minds.
Last up, before we have a That's Enough Internet for today, we have a, you think? Jim Harbaugh There was a interview. John did an interview, I think, with Peter King, and he told the story about Jim. They were playing a little backyard basketball. Kids, wives, everyone was involved. Jim's team went down 5-1. He started boxing people out. He boxed John's wife out. He was like going to the paint hard. And then after the game, he just started talking trash. He picked up his son. He says, "Doesn't it feel great, Jack, to win? Doesn't it feel great to win?" So Jim Harbaugh talking a bunch of shit and taking a little pickup basketball game with his family too seriously.
You think?
No doy. What I don't understand about this story, though, is that I guess afterwards, like an hour later, John said that Jim walked by him and was like, "Hey, John, have you won anything yet?" Like, can't John just be like, "Yeah, it's a Super Bowl ring, bro." Yeah.
Like, what? I didn't go back to college.
Yeah, right. Like, I didn't run scared from the NFL.
Jim Harbaugh to me seems like a guy that when a pickup game gets started, he says, "All right, shirts for skins," as he's taking his shirt off. He nominates his own team for skins every time.
Jim Harbaugh also seems like, ever since he lost the Super Bowl to John, he's just going to be like, "All right, if I compile enough, like, pickup games, it will negate the Super Bowl."
Yeah.
Like, if I beat John and his family in enough basketball games, maybe ping pong, maybe we'll play some laser tag. We know he's good at laser tag. Eventually, he'll reach a point where it's like, "Yeah, you won a Super Bowl, but I beat you in the last 475 things we've played just for fun."
You know how families are often asked, like, which child do you love more or which child are you rooting for the hardest? I bet you his parents were rooting for John to win that Super Bowl.
Yes.
Because Jim Harbaugh with a Super Bowl ring over John would be unbearable at any family gathering from that point on.
He would wear it every Thanksgiving, without a doubt.
He would give it. Here's what he would do. He would try to get John a Secret Santa every year, and then give him his ring. And then, as he opened it, take the ring back.
Oh man, we need to get both Harbaughs on. It'd be great
at the same time.
And just wrestle. Have them wrestle.
Yeah,
yeah. We have finally. That's enough internet for today. What do you got? I told you not to tell me before, so hit me.
So it was from Vice. Vice had an article today. It said, "We asked cock and ball torture experts about the art of dilating urethras." And then the picture had a lady that had like razor blades as her fingernails.
What the fuck?
So there's a cock and ball torture expert out there. So that's enough internet for today.
More than enough internet for the week.
Yes.
Come on.
Dilating urethra. Why would you want to?
I don't even know what that is.
No.
It makes your hole
wider. It's your pee hole?
Your pee hole?
Just say pee hole next time, please.
Yeah. It's like installing a high-flow shower head.
Yeah, use the correct science nomenclature. It's your pee hole.
Yeah, it's your dick flow.
All right. That's enough internet for today, and that's our show. Friday, we will have all of the first games wrapped up because we're going to stay in the studio late. It's going to be a late night Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be hard for your diet.
Kind of the best day of the year, though.
Yes.
I love that first.
Well, and also, you're going to have to go to SoulCycle.
I was going to say, Hank's going to have to go to SoulCycle.
Yeah, we'll see who has to go to SoulCycle.
Spin it to win it.
We'll see you Friday after the first round. Everyone, best of luck. Hopefully, you get some winners, and we'll see you then.
Love you guys.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.